Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, dashboard scrollers. Cher here with a couple of quick notes before we get started. First off, during this episode, I referenced Gary, aka the Golden Bachelor, multiple times as Jerry. His name is in fact pronounced Gary, despite being spelled G-E-R-R-Y. And I respect that. Also, in confirming the spelling of his name, I did spoil the finale for myself, which does feel like instant karma. Sorry, Gary, your name is perfect as is. Second, this is our final episode of 2023. Lauren and I are going to take some time off for the holidays, and we will return with some more Dashboard Diaries in January. We wish you a very happy holidays and new year, and we can't wait to fixate with you more in 2024. Terrible, evil little spider babies. I'm Cher McAnally, head of entertainment at Tumblr, who uses her job as justification for far too much screen time.
And I'm Lauren Shippen, professional writer and actor who, for the first time in what feels like forever, is not on strike.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And this is Dashboard Diaries, a podcast for you, the folks who are in this internet bunker with us. We talk about what's going on our favorite hell site, get into what we like to call Tumblr, do fandom deep dives, and share the times when we've gone feral over a new ship.
And okay, before we hop into things, Cher, I need you to explain that intro because you know how I feel about spiders.
I do, Lauren, and I apologize for that trigger warning. I'm so sorry. So we did an answer time with Emerald Fennell, the writer and director of Saltburn, a film I am very excited to talk about during this episode.
Oh, gosh.
As well. And during the answer time, she was talking about her process of creating her characters and relating to them, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And she described the characters that she created as terrible, evil little spider babies who had all just hatched.
Oh, God.
Which I apologize again. And I just, after we posted the answer time on Tumblr, so many of the responses from users are like, you know, every user or, you know, every writer on Tumblr referring to their OCs or something along those lines.
Accurate, so, yeah.
So yeah, I'm terrible. And I also feel like Tumblr is the terrible, evil little spider baby website.
Oh, man. I should have seen that coming. I think as much as I dislike spiders, I feel like I've said this before, I appreciate what they do. I don't mm-hmm. wish them harm. I just don't want them anywhere near me at any time.
I respect that. I was going to say I feel that way about those house centipedes.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Because I know they're so good. They kill bed bugs, they kill cockroaches, they kill mosquitoes. They're carnivores for all the things you don't want. And they have posed no harm to humans whatsoever, like disease or anything like that. Apparently they can, if they actually bite you, it hurts a bit, but they probably won't. And they also, they live for up to 7 years and have best friends, which I think is so interesting. And Lauren, as I'm saying this, I'm having like a slight memory of me describing this to you in an earlier podcast. And I really hope I haven't given you the water bug rundown, or like not the water bug, the house centipede rundown multiple times.
I think
times.
We've talked about water bugs. I don't know that we've talked about house centipedes.
But you know what? No. You know what we were talking about? We were talking about lantern flies last time.
Lantern flies.
I just come with like a bug of the week.
I know. How do you know so much about house centipedes?
I have no idea. I honestly think the information is what helps me be less scared of them.
I get that.
Because they are freaky looking. And now that I have this information, when I see one, I'm like, thank you for your service. Continue on your way, little fuzzy, many-legged creature.
Yeah.
When previously I did not respond that way. So I think
that makes a lot of sense.
Desensitize myself.
I appreciate that. I respect that.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah. Meanwhile, cockroaches, I will react with violence.
Oh, but
I will choose violence 100% of the time.
They're supposed to die.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
Anyway, on to, speaking of, not really. Not,
speaking of something that cannot be killed, Tumblr.
Our birthday is coming up. What'll be in February, on February 7th, I believe, was the day that Tumblr launched. We launched in February 2007. And so we're coming up on...
27? No, wait. That's incorrect. No, 17. 20,
wait. 17. So yeah, our 17th birthday is coming up. Very exciting.
Very exciting.
Speaking of Tumblr throughout the years, what have you brought for us from your archives this week, Lauren?
So there were lots of different things that I could have chosen, but... this is the first episode in a long time where I can talk about the TV show Hannibal.
because I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. No longer on strike. And this post is from November 23rd, 2014. I reblogged it on the 25th of November 2014, so I was on it. And it is, I think, my favorite photo from any TV show behind the scenes ever. It is a photo. To describe it for users, though, of course, we'll reblog it. And it's a photo that Brian Fuller tweeted with the tweet, "Happy birthday, Mads Mikkelsen, hashtag Hannibal." And the photo is of Mads Mikkelsen and Hugh Dancy, the two leads of Hannibal, during the filming of Mizumono, which is the finale of season 2. And I cannot describe the vibes of this photo. Mads Mikkelsen is covered in blood, bleeding from the nose, looking at the camera and holding an enormous sheet cake that says "Happy Birthday, Mads." And in the background, Hugh Dancy is soaking wet and grimacing at Mads Mikkelsen, clearly unaware that a photo is being taken. It's just like, it's perfect. It's amazing. This is the perfect photo.
You know when you say, like, a picture is worth a thousand words? Like, this is what people mean.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
What would you give, Lauren, to have been there somehow for that moment?
Literally anything in my life. Because that episode in particular, the season 2 finale of Hannibal ran for 3 seasons, and the series finale was phenomenal, but the end of season 2 is the best episode of television that I think I've ever seen. Like, it is the greatest episode ever. And the fact that they were filming it during Mads Mikkelsen's birthday and they still got him a cake even while he was, like, covered in blood doing the most emotional scene of the whole show up to that point, just, like, fills me with joy.
I love it.
What about you,
Cher? The cake is also red.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the cake. The
I hope it was red velvet.
What about you, Cher? What do you have from the archives?
So I have a post that I could not be more excited to talk about, Lauren. It is from, yes.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. I'm very confused.
Lauren just has the most bewildered look on her face, which, accurate. So this post is from November 30th, 2015. And it is a GIF using the Tumblr GIF maker. Anyway, it is a GIF of two people in an office, two men in an office, and one is kneeling down and, I don't know, bequeathing the other with a sword.
So good.
The caption says, "The first sword award, honestly, so majestic."
It is very majestic.
And it is very majestic. It's beautiful. And the context here is that the fantastic Sam Ward, who you see here kneeling down and presenting the sword, well, both of this was taken, like, at the Tumblr offices in 2015. Mm-hmm. And the fantastic Sam Ward, one of our engineers and kind of office, you know, Tumblr office mascot and, you know, cheerleader.
Yeah.
As you can probably tell from the photo, we called him Sword. And he created this award called the Sword Award, where he purchased, with my help, I might add, I don't know if that'll help or hinder me having admitted that in a public space, a 4.5-foot battle-ready sword.
I mean, that's a cool thing to shop for.
We watched a lot of tutorial videos of people, like, cutting, you know, slicing, like, those, like, jello molds and stuff. And first off, now I will really want to do that.
Oh my God, amazing.
But we were like, okay, because if we're going to knight people with a sword, it has to be, like, we're not going to mess around and give someone some, you know, we're not going to, you know, shame someone by
right.
knighting them
with a bad sword.
Non-battle ready. Are you kidding me? This is a place of valor. And so every month, Sam picked the first recipient of the Sword Award. Yeah, he picked a person in the office to bequeath it upon, and then every month that person would pick a new person to knight with the Sword Award. There was a Tumblr created for the Sword Award. I will share it with you as well.
Oh my God,
please. All the previous Sword Award recipients. And this continued for, I want to say, like 6-8 months until we were acquired by Verizon.
God, I forgot about that.
They came into the office and, you know, like we had HR, we're doing meetings, and they came through. They were immediately like, hi, sorry, you can't have a battle-ready sword. In your place of business.
This is definitely an OSHA violation.
And you know what? What I say to that is like, come on, like the man trying to keep us down, you know?
That is so good. What happened to the sword?
One of my favorite, it is at Sword's house. Okay. He still has the Sword Award. It does have a sheath, which it was kept in.
Good.
I just want to clarify that. It did have a sheath. And by battle ready, it didn't mean fully sharpened. It just meant full tang, and I don't know what full tang means,
full
but I think
tang.
It's something to do with swords, but also full something tang. To do with orange juice, so
yeah.
I'm very interested.
I'm gonna,
anyway,
I'm gonna
I don't
want to
take up
my...
half the episode with the Sword Award, but that's one of my favorite Tumblr things ever, and if and when there is, you know, a documentary or, you know, docuseries, whatever it is, you know, biopic about Tumblr, I just so hope the Sword Award is included.
Yes. An important piece of Tumblr history, to be sure.
I really think it is. Truly Tumble lore.
It is. I mean, that is like true Tumble lore that like I didn't know, and that I feel like probably most of Tumblr doesn't know.
Right? I feel like it's like, what a fun, strange thing. And
awesome.
Part of me is like, as I'm saying this right now, I'm like, is it bad that I am sharing this with everyone? So following this episode, I'm going to text Sam and see how much of this I can share.
Totally.
But I feel like it's on like the internet, and like we were in the office and no one got hurt.
And listen, Verizon doesn't own you anymore.
We were knighting people. Yeah. That is true. And honestly, good on them for being like, hi,
you,
no.
You can't have this.
Yeah, no weaponry
in the office,
battle-ready swords. Yes, those do count. Thank you.
That is a fair criticism. From Verizon.
I think it's valid.
It's valid.
You know, with you know, time and context, and time and experience, you know, as an adult,
yes.
An adultier adult than I was at the time. Anyway, I'm so sorry. I have fully derailed this episode.
No, I love it.
Okay. Speaking of swords, Lauren, we interviewed the fantastic Vico Ortiz at New York Comic Con.
Nice.
Who I found out is really talented at fencing and was a competitive, like high level competitive fencer and loves sword fighting, which makes a lot of sense given their role.
Absolutely.
In Our Flag Means Death, a show that we can now talk about now
yes.
that the strike is over.
We can talk about TV again.
Music of some kind. Na-na-na-na-na-na.
That was a very good transition.
Thank you very much. I'm proud of it. What? Okay, so Lauren, what show has been the hardest for you not to talk about? Is it,
oh, gosh.
Was it Hannibal, or was it something more current?
I mean, definitely Hannibal
has been
hard not to talk about. But yeah, I'm trying to think of like what I like finally this week started reblogging stuff to my thelaurenshipman.tumblr.com that, mm-hmm. you know, were SAG shows. I've been reblogging a bunch of The Expanse, some For All Mankind. The Expanse is an old show, but just one I've gone deep in on as a rewatch. But I think the surprise show for me that I'm like, I want to talk about this online is Loki. It really
yes.
snuck up on me, but it had an impact. And I think that one, Fall of the House of Usher, not being able to talk about that has been hard.
Oh my
gosh. Because it's
just
so good. I'm looking back in my archives to see like what have I on my like private, you know, private one where
yeah.
I can break strike rules because nobody knows who I am.
I have one episode left of Fall of the House of Usher.
Oh my gosh.
I've had one episode left for 3 weeks. I am so bad about this when I either really like a show or I'm like,
well, yeah, you don't finish
by
it.
An ending.
Yeah.
I just don't finish it, but I will finish it so that we can talk about it.
Excellent.
Because I feel like we should do a Mike Flanagan.
We should do a Flanagan verse episode. Oh my God. Ahsoka, like live action Thrawn.
Yes.
That was huge. Let's see what else. Oh, I got really into Nancy Drew. Just like a show that
like the CW show?
Yeah.
Or like, oh my gosh.
I really enjoyed it. And I, you know, oh my God. And also like Good Omens. Like,
oh my God.
Holy cow.
Yep.
Like those are sort of my big ones, I would say, that are immediately coming to mind. But what about you? What mm-hmm. are the shows that you've been like dying to talk about on this podcast. Because obviously in your job, you still have been talking about, and also you're not a SAG member, so you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. I've been, you know, keeping it a little light. First off, have so many interviews that we did that we banked that, you know, now went live,
right,
or, you know, that we had to hold, or that, you know, now I'm actually promoting. Because I didn't even, we had interviews that went live that were approved to go live and we just put a note, you know, recorded on XYZ date.
Yeah.
But I didn't promote any of those on my personal socials.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I have a lot to post and it seems just a lot of effort and I'm going to do it. But I've been putting it off. But anyway, once again, I've derailed this. What else? Okay, what we do in the shadows, I think, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
And that was one where I got to interview the cast around the final season.
And
nice. Was like, I love that show so much. I love the entire cast. I love, you know, look, you know, any show that has, any show created by New Zealanders, you know, I'm a fan of. My accent isn't as good as it was, you know, before we were recording, I would say.
Yeah, Lauren, before,
but, you know, I'm doing my best. It was way better. It was way, you know,
you like slipped into it like a natural. Like it was incredible. I think maybe you were thinking about your mom.
It's got to happen organically. Yeah. Now I don't know what's happening here. We're probably going to have to cut. I don't know. Okay. Anyway. Anyway. But so I think What We Do in the Shadows was one that was really hard for me to not talk about. And Yellow Jackets, even though I'm pretty sure it ended before.
It ended.
Yeah, that one I just always want to talk about, so I wrote it
That's
down.
Very fair.
Just always on my mind. Season 3 will happen eventually, and it was obviously paused.
Yep.
And then, actually, a lot of the shows that I'm realizing that I watch and haven't really talked about are shows that aren't super big on Tumblr, and that also probably were SAG safe, but I watch, like, all of those reality shows. Like,
oh, yeah, those would,
the
those
Golden
would be
Bachelor,
safe. Yeah.
Love is Blind, Love Island, Bachelor in Paradise. I, like, those are what I
amazing
throw in the background when I'm doing. I watch all those. So I feel like I just, because we just haven't been watching, talking about, like, TV film at all, like, I just realized I have been spending so much time watching those.
Yeah.
And I think The Golden Bachelor especially is something that I would love to talk about because I have thoughts.
What are your thoughts?
Well, first off, Jerry, I had high hopes for this man. You know, he really, you know, in the, like, the he seemed like a great, eligible Golden Bachelor.
Yeah.
Seemed like a sweet man. You know, his episodes were really emotional, blah, blah, blah. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, everyone, like, all these women are so nice to each other. Like, what a sweet show. He told all three of the final women that he loved them.
Oh, Lauren. My God.
No. And so all three of these women were like planning their futures. The final two especially, like, it was intense. And
oh my
God. Multiple times when he had to send someone home or have a hard conversation or whatever it was, he would say, I haven't felt like this since my wife died. His wife of like 40 years, Lauren.
Oh my God.
I know.
Wow, so what a scoundrel.
What a scoundrel. Jerry, I had high hopes.
Oh. Is this the first time they've done the Golden Bachelor? Like an older...
It is. And yeah. It was a really fan... It's actually, I think, super relevant, honestly, for our podcast because it was a fan-inspired or, like, driven thing.
Oh, interesting.
The Bachelor Nation was so... I say that as if I'm, like, learning about this. I am in it. I watch all of this. There's been so much, like, desire for a Golden Bachelor, like, an older version of The Bachelor.
Yeah.
To the point where, yeah, they casted it and, you know, actually did it. And it has revitalized the franchise in a big way. They got record viewer numbers. It, you know, obviously new demographics watching it.
Right, of course.
And I honestly think that it was, despite, you know, Jerry being the fool's Golden Bachelor, and you can quote me on that. despite that, like, it was really, first, like, the women, like, it was so sweet to see these women, like, become, like, create these really, like, close friendships in the house. And I don't know, I feel like
that's really nice.
Show spent a lot more time on, like, the women as individuals and their relationships with each other. I don't know, I thought it was a really sweet show.
Awesome.
And yeah, it was, you know, whereas, like, The Bachelor, I very much, like, I, you know, throw it on when I'm, like, doing dishes or cleaning or, like, you know, my expenses or whatever it is.
Yeah.
This one I kept being like, oh my gosh, I'm really watching this and, like, watching this happen. And maybe that's why I paid closer attention and was like, you scoundrel, Jerry.
Train all these women along.
The complete audacity. All of these nice women, Jerry. One of them missed their daughter's wedding.
Oh my
to be
gosh.
There. Jerry.
I love that. Do you see like any Bachelor posting on Tumblr? Because obviously, yeah, Bachelor Nation is huge. And there are so many people who are like mega fans of The Bachelor. But are they on Tumblr?
I honestly don't really think so. There's not really like a big community on Tumblr around, honestly, a lot of reality shows. Like, you'll notice if you search The Bachelor on Tumblr right now, there are 90,000 followers for it.
Okay.
And it's an anime. It's an anime title, as it appears.
Gotcha. So not...
Love Tumblr so much.
Yes.
Yeah. So maybe let me try Bachelor Nation. Let's see.
Yeah, see what that brings up.
Let's see what... Okay, so now we have some... Look, as a Bachelor Nation member, I feel like the like Bachelor Nation would really benefit from joining Tumblr and having... Like, imagine the fanfic possibilities.
Oh, my gosh.
The ship... It's a show inherently about shipping.
Yes, that's, like, that's entirely
what
it's
it
about.
Is. And yeah. Especially the show where, like, the, you know, Bachelor in Paradise, where it's a bunch of people who are all just kind of... It is...
Yeah.
It is honestly, like, watching it, what even, like, the relationship dynamics are great fuel for writers and creatives.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's just a lot of... Anyway.
Have you read The Charm Offensive?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God. You have to. So, it is a romance novel, like, a contemporary romance novel about this, like, very sort of, like, socially awkward, anxious, like... Can't remember if he's like a tech genius or what, but like this, you know, very eligible bachelor who goes on like a bachelor style show. Mm. And the producer who is like producing him, this like guy who's like really into sort of like all of the bachelor stuff, like believes in happily ever after, ends up like kind of falling for him, and they fall for each other. And it's like about like, but it's set within this bachelor show, except it's like this queer romance between like the producer and the bachelor. And it's great. I love it.
Okay. Can't wait to read it. Can't wait till it's a Hallmark movie.
Seriously. Where is my adaptation of
Because
of
that
the
was,
offensive?
What was it? Red, white, and...
Royal blue.
Was it red, white, royal, red, white, and red, white, and royal blue. Loved that.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so fun. I did have a question for you, though, because
okay.
I was thinking, like, okay, so, like, there are all these TV shows and movies that we haven't talked about, and, like, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, we might do individual episodes on some of them in the future, but in terms of, like, what was really big on Tumblr, what sort of, like, had the, like, what are the things on Tumblr that we haven't talked about over the last 4 months because of the strike? I think one of the biggest is, like, Barbenheimer, right? Like, we weren't really able to fully experience Barbenheimer.
Mm-hmm. I think I feel like I need to, like, take a deep breath and be like, all right, we're doing this, let's do this. Okay, so, I mean, first off, TV shows, the amount of TV shows that came out this summer and, like, fall. First off, One Piece.
Oh, my gosh,
that,
yes.
Like, enormous, and would have loved, like, I feel like a One Piece episode.
Because I've
definitely,
never seen the anime
I mean,
or the live action.
Definitely do. Neither have I.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen the first couple episodes, the first few episodes of the live action.
Right.
Loved it. Was so excited to do more around the film or around the series. But yeah, definitely. Maybe, you know, we'll slot that in for season two.
Yes.
That'll be great.
Yep.
Yeah. Also, yeah, What We Do in the Shadows, season mm-hmm. 5 ended. And that was, I mean, what an ending. And with, you know, everything going on with our little friend Guillermo and his vampire osity.
Ferocity. You know. I like that.
Which is a word. Thank
Absolutely.
You. And also, Our Flag Means Death. Do you watch Our Flag Means Death?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I have not watched season two.
Okay.
What did you think of it?
I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I really enjoyed the first season. I really enjoyed the second season. I would not necessarily count myself as being in the Our Flag Means Death fandom. I'm a fan of the mm-hmm. show, but I don't think I sort of had the reaction to it that everybody everybody on Tumblr did, right? Like, I really enjoy the show and I enjoy seeing the fan art and the meta posts and all that kind of stuff, but it's like, it's not a show that makes me go feral, you know?
Yeah.
Like, like, there are certain shows that like, and it's interesting.
It's not Hannibal for you.
It's not Hannibal, right. And it's interesting too, because I think that there's like, sort of like a holy trinity of like old gay men shows. Or like, what was the third one? Because it's like, Our Flag Means Death, Good Omens, and then, oh, I think I did see people sort of like lumping like Loki into this a little bit because of like Lokius and stuff, which like is so real. But Good Omens was another show like like Our Flag Means Death, where it's like, I watched the first season, I enjoyed it, I went about my life, I watched the second season, I enjoyed it, and then just that last episode of the second season made me lose my mind. And like, I haven't stopped thinking about it since.
What? Because I'm realizing, like, one, like, little things that we couldn't talk about, like, Super Hulock as a thing that I feel like we bring up regularly.
Yeah, and we missed the anniversary of November 5th.
That's what I was just thinking, yeah. Right? We couldn't talk about that. What is your personal Super Hulock?
Oh, great question. Great question. Hannibal, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
God, you know what it is? If I'm like, okay, what are the three fandoms that, like, I went nuts over, because I, when Super Hulock was a big deal, I didn't watch Doctor mm-hmm. Who, and I hadn't started watching Supernatural yet. Like, I watched Doctor Who, like, sort of vaguely, and I still sort of watch Doctor Who like vaguely, but it's not a fandom of mine. And now, of course, I'm like deep into Supernatural, but I wasn't during the height of Super Hulock. So for me, during that period, the my Super Hulock was Sherlock, so that part of Super Hulock, mm-hmm. Hannibal, and Merlin. Like, those are my shows. And it's funny, I was just looking through the fandom metrics of Tumblr, and Merlin is, like, still in the top 10 somehow.
Merlin, I don't think it ever drops out, Lauren. Merlin is always in fandom. And you know what? I get it. I love it. I watched it when it was on air.
Oh, yeah.
When it was airing. I loved it so much. I should rewatch Merlin. Now, adding that to the list.
Yeah, seriously. Now I'm watching that.
You said Sherlock, Merlin, Hannibal. I'm trying to...
What would yours be?
Mine, I think, would be, if you did at the time, it would be, I mean, I guess it's not a TV show, but, like, I feel like Twilight just has to be in there because of, you know, everything I have told you about me and
totally
Twilight.
I think that counts, even if it's not a TV show.
Right.
I think that counts.
I agree. Yeah. It's like a saga, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
So I would say Twilight, Gossip Girl.
Oh, nice.
I was so into Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
And, God, I'm trying to think, like, what other shows were, like, on that I was deeply obsessed with, because I was not in the Super Hulock, like, circles.
Yeah.
Which is wild to me, because all of these shows are just could not be more my vibe.
Yeah.
I think maybe Vampire Diaries, but I kind of got, like, I got into that late.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, like, in my early 20s, so I don't even know if I can count that.
Well, that's not that, right? That's not that late, because, like, I mean, it was still on, you know, it's not like you got into it.
Yeah.
Because I think it's so funny. I was talking
about. I think it was still on.
It was. It ran from 2009 to, I think, 2017 or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Because, so just around. Okay. Okay. I can say that.
I was talking to my partner last night about Vampire Diaries for some reason. Oh, because we were talking about, my partner and I were talking about video game adaptations. We were talking about, like, you know, The Last of Us and what it has done for zombie media, and how The Last of Us owes some of, you know, its DNA to The Walking Dead, and The Walking Dead owes some of its DNA to 28 Days Later, and kind of, like, you know, the various impacts that these...
Pun intended.
Yes, pun intended. And these various, you know, iterations of zombie media and all that kind of stuff, and also, like, what Walking Dead did for, like, TV in general. And I never really watched The Walking Dead, but one of the things that my partner was saying was, like, one of the things that it did at the time that was really interesting and that was, like, shocking to the fans was that it burned through plot really quickly and it killed off characters with, like, no remorse, right? It was just, like, it was unforgiving. And I was like, oh, you know what was also doing that a few years earlier was The Vampire Diaries. Like, The Vampire Diaries burned through plot in a way I'd never seen on TV before. And I was like, and that predates The Walking Dead. And then we looked it up. And The Vampire Diaries came out in 2009. Walking Dead came out in 2010. But I was like... I was so thrown because I was convinced that I was watching The Vampire Diaries in high school, but it came out the fall that I went to college. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know. It was just like, this is not important.
I was putting Vampire Diaries in, like, the One Tree Hill adjacent.
Yes.
Bucket,
same.
Honestly. Yeah.
Like Gilmore Girls, like all of, like, you know, like sort of like Buffy ended and The Vampire Diaries came in. But in fact, it was like years and years between those two. And that really threw me for a loop.
And that was when I found Twilight.
Exactly. That little space between those two.
In that void that was left.
I'm trying to think of what my Super Hulock would be now. Do you have one for what your Super Hulock would be now?
So I feel like Yellow Jackets has to be in there.
Very fair.
Fleabag.
Oh.
And What We Do in the Shadows, I think.
Nice. Nice.
So...
Yeah.
Yellow shadow bag.
I like that. Yellow shadow bag. That's very good.
What's yours?
Hannibal still. Like, I routinely rewatch that show.
Look, loyal. Stay loyal.
Yeah. I think I could never have anticipated this back in the early Super Hulock days, but like, I think one of my central fandoms now is Star Wars, which I just like never saw coming in a million years. But yeah, Star Wars, definitely. And then what would be the third one? And Star Wars obviously like encompasses so much, right? And then, I don't know, I think like it's hard to know because I sort of fixate so specifically on one thing at a time that it's like right now my mind is just like full of The Expanse because I played an Expanse video game and then got back into the show and it's just like my mind is just Expanse. But I think
it's taking up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it would probably be like maybe Marvel still. I don't know. You know, it's like there's still a bunch of Marvel content that really gets me, right? Like this fall I had like the Spider-Man games and Loki and like, it still has me in some respects. Stucky will never let me go.
No, I agree. I started watching the new season of Loki. I need to finish it. But I heard it's getting great reviews. And as I really enjoyed the first couple episodes I saw, like, I feel like there's still so much creativity in like the Marvel universe. And as long as, you know, license is given to like new voices and like creators to kind of have their opportunity to adapt and like show the material from their lens, I feel like, you know, I'll still be into it. Like, Ms. Marvel was so good.
Was so
I can't
great.
Wait for season two of that. Same. You know, Ms. Marvel. And also, I'm realizing that this isn't part of my personal Super Hulock, but I'm realizing we didn't talk, you know, Heartstopper came out.
Oh my God. Oh my God. The second season was so good. I've already watched it three times.
Good. It was so good.
It was so good.
Oh my gosh. I love Heartstopper. Heartstopper makes me feel like, honestly, I was like, I love Feel Good.
Yes.
The Netflix series. Yeah, it's one of my favorite like
I've
shows
ever. I've seen the first
season.
Yeah.
And I honestly like, I want to put, I was like, no, I can't put it in that bucket because I feel like Heartstopper makes me feel warm and fuzzy. Mm-hmm. Feel Good like can be very stressful, but also very like, I just also love it so much. But I also feel like I can rewatch Heartstopper like I can rewatch Fleabag season one and two.
Yes.
Specifically Fleabag season two.
Yes. Yeah.
One of the best seasons of television. Just
absolutely.
Ever. Love it. Rewatching it currently.
Heartstopper, I just like, gives me a feeling that no other piece of media does. Like, it is just like being wrapped in a warm blanket. And oh my gosh, Kit Connor looks like he gives the best hugs in the universe. I feel like I can feel his hugs watching him hug other actors, you know?
It's definitely like a comfort show. And I feel like I've definitely said it before, but I've said it again, but it makes me so happy that it exists and that it is like a piece of media that, you know, like teenagers can consume and like younger people figuring out their identity or anyone really figuring out their identity can consume. And, you know, so it makes like, I so wish I'd had something like Heartstopper when I was, you know, a teen. I think I would have, you know, figured out or at least like explored or even questioned my identity far sooner if I had.
Same.
And so I'm very glad that, you know, Heartstopper and similar media like, you know, Our Flag Means Death and Good Omens and all these fantastic shows, you know, that like center queer characters without, you know, tokenism or anything. It just feels like really sweet, you know, queer stories or sweet stories, you know, about queer people. But yeah, anyway, I like this new season of Heartstopper is so good. I now want to rewatch seasons one and two again because I haven't watched season one recently
I rewatched season one before watching season two and then I watched season two.
As one should.
And then I was like, I'm going to watch season two again. And then I was like, I'm going to watch season one and season two again. And so I think I've seen season two now three times and I've seen season one, you know, like 800 times at this point. Like, because it is it's like that and like Gilmore Girls are like my put on the background when I like need something soothing. Or Anne with an E is another one that like just really like soothes my heart.
It's just, it's just sweet and nice. And also the way that the, you know, comics or the, you know, like the web comics or graphic novel was woven in so well to the show too.
Yes.
Like that's just like a really beautifully like made show, like so seamlessly, and it doesn't feel forced. It feels really natural, but it, you know, it's just that nice little addition and it's, you know, both painted on, but also, you know, in graphics. I love it.
Another show that we haven't talked about at all because of the strike that I'm curious if you've seen or heard anything about that I think fits into this as well. The thing about Heartstopper that I really like is like, it's clearly not some sort of like big budget. We're going to get a bunch of like megastars to be in this and give you four episodes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like it's just, yeah. it's made with such like love and passion. And like, it's like, it feels like a TV show from like an era before like we had all these massive budget TV shows all the time. And another show like that, Goosebumps. Did you watch the new Goosebumps TV show?
I have not, but I need to because I love Goosebumps growing up.
Loved it.
Oh my gosh. I have to check it out. And I feel like Heartstopper is, you know, I put it in the same bucket as Freaks and Geeks, as you said,
totally.
In terms of just like
yes.
a really like well cast, beautifully done, beautifully written show that like doesn't need a big budget to,
yeah.
you know, express, you know, like it doesn't need a big budget to, you know, get its point across or tell its story or, you know, whatever. I feel like Foundation, actually, surprisingly, I don't know if you watch Foundation.
I haven't watched the second season, but yeah.
Like that, they really, that was such a small budget show.
Foundation?
And they made it look so huge budget. Yeah, they just had some really small moments that they could use like big budgets for.
Oh
but
my
it was
gosh.
Quite, like compared to other things, I think it's like $1 million an episode or some ridiculously
what?
Small.
What? I thought that was like $10 million an episode. That's crazy.
Per episode.
I would have thought that was like one of the more expensive shows.
4.5 per episode was the budget.
That's
for
wild.
Season one. Yeah.
It looks, Which I mean, it looks just, like it's 10 to 15 million an episode. That's
right,
crazy.
Compared to, so yeah, season one budget was $45 million compared to Rings of Power season one budget, which was $700 million.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Like, and right. And I feel like they looked like comparably, I put very much being like, oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, like they're compositionally very similar.
Absolutely.
And yeah, Foundation was so well done. I like season one, I think season two, it really found its stride. Season two
okay.
is fantastic.
Interesting.
I really recommend it. I know a lot of people who kind of like didn't really, you know, didn't feel enthused after watching season one about season two, but I think season two really, you know, it really brought me back. I actually have been in the process of a rewatch of all of it so that I can like fully appreciate so many of like the, you know, little things throughout.
That's really good to hear.
Season two is really good. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I watched the first episode of season two and I really enjoyed season one. But mm-hmm. I watched the first episode of season two and I think just enough time has passed and it's enough of like a weird, esoteric, heady show that like I watched the first episode of season two and I was like, I don't understand literally anything that's happening.
Yeah.
I really don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so I just got discouraged.
For sure. Yeah, also season two is to absolutely start your like literally thrown into the deep end.
Yes.
Like
yeah,
actually.
Exactly.
Like being like, excuse me, how did I get here and what is happening?
Yes.
And why is it happening?
And like what timelines are each of these stories happening in? Like man.
Honestly, upon a rewatch, like I rewatched as I was watching season two, I started the season one rewatch. And like by the time I like got to the end of season one, the season two was ending. So I was like, I watched the last episode of season one and then started season two over. And like doing that, it was everything clicked right away.
Okay.
And season two makes so much more sense.
Interesting.
And I'm really enjoying it.
Okay.
So I do think like even like at first I was like, I'm just going to rewatch like the final episode.
Right.
And then I was like, I'm still so confused. So I feel it's just such a complicated, like
it's
there's
such a complicated
so many
story. Yeah.
Like timelines and things. And I feel like, yeah, season two, I feel like is a really good, like does a really good job of wrapping up a lot of the key storylines from season one in preparation for likely like a big time jump for season three.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So I think they like, there's a lot of stuff, like a lot of, so because of that, they like tie up a lot of stories and you actually get, you know, you figure things make sense.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a lot of things make sense and I think it's really well done. And I feel like there's like a lot of good, like, you know, I don't know, rebellion and that kind of vibes. I really liked it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm going to give it another try. Maybe I'll like watch like a recap video on YouTube or something and try to remember what happened in season one.
Definitely, because it's a lot to rewatch. It's like it took me, it's so dense of
it's
a show.
It's so
you have to
dense.
Sit there and like watch it.
Yeah,
and,
it's like not a background show. Like you have
not
to watch it.
All because there's it's like in every scene is like a full storyline, like a decade long. And then it's like, that was 2 minutes. What happened? Like, sorry, excuse me. He was stuck inside of us. What for how many?
Yeah, wait.
Years?
This next episode is 150 years after the last one. How is that? But all the characters are it's like.
But they're flashing back to their past where they're younger. But it relates.
Well, and just with Empire being the same actors over and over again, it's like very hard to know, like, okay, wait, which version of Empire is Lee Pace playing
right
now? you know?
The Empire storyline is wild.
So fascinating.
Apparently, in the original books, who's the
Isaac
author?
Asimov, I think?
Isaac Asimov. In the books, they are not clones. The Kleons are not clones, which is wild to me because their name is an anagram for clone.
Oh my God, it is.
Right?
Yeah. Wow.
I don't even think they're called the Kleons in the books. I can't remember. Well, again, I didn't read the books.
No, I mean.
This is all me on the subreddit because, again.
Nice.
Tumblr fans catch on to Foundation so that I can dive into the Tumblr takes.
This is how I feel about The Expanse. Like, there is a healthy Tumblr fandom for The Expanse. But I actually just wrote a big post. If you go to thelaurenchevin.tumblr.com, I wrote a big post about, like, why you should love The Expanse, because it's like it's everything that Tumblr loves, right? It's like great political space drama with rebellion and stuff. It's found family. It's like canonically queer characters. It's like Amos Burton is like the classic sort of like, you know, Joel Miller gruff, you know, killer type, but like so interesting, like such a complex person. And like, and you know, and the fandom is just very small. And I need more people to get into the fandom because I need a lot more people to be writing fanfic in this fandom.
It really does surprise me, given like, yeah, I haven't watched all of The Expanse, but I've watched, you know, I've watched part of or if not all of season one.
Yeah.
And even the way that the show is, you know, shot and the set and the but everything, it's like, okay, this is so Tumblr.
It's so Tumblr.
In terms of everything about it, it really did. It always shocked me too that like it wasn't a bigger show on platform. It felt like it checked every kind of box.
It and there really does.
Like maybe it'll be one of those shows that Tumblr catches on after the fact, and then everyone's rewatching The Expanse together.
I hope so, because I really have like sort of I've got a bunch of different ships in The Expanse, but the one that I'm sort of like most passionate about when it comes to reading fanfic is I've read every fic that there is. I've read every single one because there's only 50.
Oh my God. Every single. Okay, Lauren, why don't we do this? Why don't we each pick like a show or something that we feel is like underwatched or underappreciated and do an episode on it that's essentially like here's why you should watch this show.
Like a presentation
a little pitch.
Yes, I love this. Okay, fantastic. Great idea.
Okay, cool. Amazing. Mine would have been Yellow Jackets. I feel like it has a healthy fandom now.
Yes.
But I think Foundation. I can do Foundation.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay, great. Which is a great way, I feel like, to end our episode with so many exciting things to look forward in the future. Do you want to do a quick feels corner before we wrap?
Yeah, absolutely. You go first.
What is me and my feels this week? I think being able to talk about like TV and film again in a way that feels casual and conversational versus feeling like, you know, we're, you know, editing ourselves or saying, you know, whatever. So I'm just excited to talk about TV and film again. I'm excited that the strike is over, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I hope that SAG, like all the SAG members and you, are very happy with, you know, with the outcome.
We'll see.
Yeah. No, I feel like it's because it's not fully confirmed yet.
No,
right?
we have until December 5th to vote. And
okay.
Actually, yeah. If anybody is curious sort of my perspective on the SAG contract as it stands now, I've actually done a bunch of posts on my Tumblr about it. And people do seem interested. Like my sort of main post has like, I mean, they're both very long, but like my main post is like over 300 notes of people, you know, like reblogging it and you know, liking it and asking questions and stuff. So yeah, if anybody's
fantastic. Go read that.
Interested in that. What has me in my feels? I think I'm just going to pick a TV show at random that I think like gives me a similar feeling to what Heartstopper does, which is just like it's a warm blanket, which is Julia on HBO Max, which is about Julia Child. It's just like it's just warm and fuzzy. Season two just started. It's just been very nice.
There's a season two?
Yeah.
I'm so excited about that. That's fantastic news. I also just found out this Gilded Age season two is out and almost
yes,
done.
Yeah.
Which is great, too. So much TV to watch.
So much to watch. So much to talk about.
This has been a lot of fun. I can't wait to talk about all the other things that we started talking about this episode. We could go for so much longer. So with that, I'm Cher McAnally, and you can find me at overshares.tumblr.com.
And I'm Lauren Shippen, and you can find me at thelaurenshippen.tumblr.com. This has been Dashboard Diaries, and may your Anons always be loving.
Your dash always refresh.
Your gifts always be loading.
And your ships always canon.
May the fix you're reading always be finished.
And the answers you seek always in the reblogs.
Thanks for scrolling with us.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.